Next on News for the Soul, Eyes Wide Open with Janessa and SJ. We are multifaceted beings living in a multidimensional existence. We hold the power of perception, and this power alone paints our reality. Perception influences the things we see and the things we don't see. Together, we'll explore the mystical and the material, the metaphysical and the physical, the supernatural and the concrete, the seen and the unseen. Please welcome Janessa and SJ back to News for the Soul.
Hello, News for the Soul family. I am one of your hosts this evening, Janessa Finley-Ford. I'm an empowerment coach, and I love working with high-achieving women to help them turn their obstacles into outcomes, their barriers into breakthroughs, and their trials into triumphs. And I'm super excited to be back here tonight with SJ and not rocking the show solo. So welcome.
Hey, everybody. I'm SJ. I'm a certified crystal healer and shamanic earth and energy medicine practitioner, really helping to guide those that are living their best warrior life. Like, how are we moving through this? Like, what are we rocking today? That's where I live and breathe, and especially ancestral energetics, too. We usually start out with a funny story. So because my son's birthday was just a few days ago, I'd like to share the story of when he met his baby sister in the hospital. He was super cute. The first thing he said when he saw her was, "Aw," and then he said, "Can I pet her?" Just whispered the cutest thing ever, "Can I pet her?" We, of course, had animals, but this is the first time he saw a baby human. So he just wants to pet the cute little tiny thing.
Does he still pet her?
He probably does.
She does have really long, beautiful hair. I mean, anyway.
True. That mermaid hair.
She does have mermaid hair, my goodness. So a couple weeks ago, we have a show for you guys this evening. Let me tell you, we're going to pick up from a couple weeks ago. We're going to pick up from a week ago. We're going to talk about self-abandonment. We're going to take callers. If you have questions, you can send them in. This is going to be a broad topic show. So as I explained last week, 2 weeks ago when we talked about abandonment, Anna, Jamie, and Lori had sent in questions, and there just was, imagine this, a tech glitch, and the email didn't drop into my inbox until after the show was over. And so hopefully you all are joining us live here again this week, but we're going to loop back to your questions because those are really important to us. So thank you for submitting them. So we'll start with Anna in Rhode Island. She had wrote in when we were talking about abandonment and said that every time she gets into a relationship and when she feels really deeply for the person, she'll immediately go into abandonment and grief, becoming hyper aware of the fact that she's going to lose them sooner or later, one way or another, and wanted some helpful advice about what to do with that. I feel like maybe starting with some of those ancestral and generational vibes might be best.
Yeah, that's kind of where my mind went.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of where my mind went as well with this. Like, definitely if you take a look at your family, both sides of the family, doesn't matter if it's biological or adopted, none of that matters, but just take a look at both sides of the family and relationships that exist there and see if there are any patterns that you can identify that you recreate in your own life or your own relationships. So for instance, are you selecting people who are like your great uncle who also didn't keep firm foundation and abandoned whoever he was with often? Like, just for an example, that could be one way that it plays out within the partner selection aspects. Or if there's, like, I love taking a look at harmonics too. Like, when you look at those relationships that you feel abandoned in, is there like a timeline that kind of runs with that as well? So does it last for 3 weeks? Does it last for 3 months? Does it last for 3 years? what is kind of, can you see the pattern of the timeline of when those relationships sort of fizzle out and that abandonment starts to creep in? I also, my mind instantly when that question came up, went to manifestation. And if we believe something is going to happen, oftentimes we create that exact scenario in playing out. So some of those amazing mindset shifts of those limiting beliefs that Janessa does would be amazing in practice to reprogram and release some of those predispositioned belief systems that come into play of, hey, this is only going to last for 3 months, so therefore I should go ahead and start that grieving process right now.
Awesome. Yeah, as far as the mindset side, there's building the belief system around I am supported, I am desired, I am connected, I am safe. And when you notice yourself starting to run that hyper-awareness loop, really getting present, your power is in the present moment. So really, really getting present with yourself and really retraining your body that is firing off the warning signals and saying things are not okay here, things are not safe, I'm anticipating in the future, like those anticipatory phobias, the anticipatory response, expecting something. Unfortunately, that's a great self-fulfilling prophecy as well. But coming back and training your body in the here and now, in this moment, I am safe. I am safe in relationship with this person. I'm safe in relationship with myself. I am fully supported in this moment. I am connected in this moment. All is well in this moment. And then building the belief also of you're always able to figure it out. So sooner or later, if you're even looking at the later, right, through passing on of life, like we all have to face that someday. And if we live in the fear of it happening, it's just allowing it to rob us and steal us, steal the joy of life from us in every fleeting moment. And so leaning into, you know, the difficult situations that I've been through, I figured them out. I've landed on my feet. I've come out the other side, always, always, always. So no matter if it's sooner, no matter if it's later, no matter if it's by death or some other circumstance, I'm going to figure that out too. I can figure everything out. And when you so fully trust yourself to navigate life, then as you experience the fear, and we've talked about fear quite a lot, but as you experience, I really connect abandonment and fear energy pretty tightly. While they're different, they tend to be companions. So the abandonment and fear, then you realize that there's nothing there. And that, another from a mindset standpoint, is really going into what are your worst case scenarios with being in the relationship? And then looking at, have you experienced that in the past? And if you've experienced that in the past, then what is there to fear? Because you got through it in the past. So typically, a lot of the loops we get caught in come from, well, I've been through that before and it wasn't sexy. It wasn't a ball of joy. I don't want to do it again. It creates so much discontent in the present that you can't be happy in the present. All over trying to prevent something that hasn't happened again yet. And at the end of the day, you navigated it just fine the first time around. So if you had to face it, there's nothing to fear there because you've already navigated it. And this is, in the personal development world, something that gets talked about a lot. Like, if you are so fearful of being cheated on or whatever the worst case scenario is in the relationship, you won't be in the relationship. You just won't. Like, the fear will be too overwhelming. But when you can go all in and trust yourself to be okay no matter what happens, that's when you're able to release the reins and be all in. And so whether with business that might look like going bankrupt and having to rebuild, if you can't ever face that, like, worst case scenario and know in your heart that, okay, well, I will rebuild. That's, you know, like, isn't the way I would want it to go, but if it happens, I can believe in myself enough to know that I'll just do it again. Same with the relationship. I mean, every area of your life. Once you're so comfortable in your self-trust, it really diminishes the gremlins or the monsters in the closet that creep up and try to tell us that this just is going to go south, so we might as well curtail it before we even get there. So really leaning into your self-trust, your resilience, seeing all the ways that you've always shown up for yourself, and just facing that abandonment, the grief, the fear, what I would say, head on, and allowing your body to retrain into that mode of, like, I am safe. I am safe now. I am safe no matter what. I am safe after all I've been through. And, of course, I love tapping. So then the tapping can help with the different various layers that come up with that as well. And that natural bio-distressing tapping video is located on the News for the Soul website. So
yeah,
I hope that helps. Anna in Rhode Island. Sorry, go ahead, SJ.
Yeah, I love that too. And just thinking about, like, instantly leaning into that grieving process, rather than moving to, I have to grieve it, working with the crystal like malachite to ask more of, like, what is my truth in the here and now outside of my past experiences might be something that would be really beneficial too, if you are open to working with the crystal energetics too, in a little bit more of a passive but also cognitive manner to try to seek out those answers of, like, what is my truth now and with this relationship external to any of my past relationships or experiences as well, so that you can really see that one as a standing on its own foundation too.
Yeah, and for I think all of these questions, when we talk about self-abandonment today, will really also help abandonment with others, because mm-hmm. the inside-out always approach. So stay tuned as we move through our conversation today into that information, because that will also be very liberating. So Jamie in New Mexico, she wrote in and said, I have manifested being alone going on 30 years, and I think it's because I don't want to feel the pain of abandonment ever again. But really, it feels like living in abandonment all the time as I'm on my own. What can I do to turn this around? So from a mindset perspective, oh, go ahead.
No, I was just about to cough. Go ahead.
Oh, well then, from a mindset perspective, I would say, first of all, working with, and I don't know the details specifically of how the abandonment played out, if you're talking about childhood abandonment, or if you're just talking about a relationship that had ended earlier in life, but really coming to terms with the things that are happening in life are happening for you, not to you. And so what positive things have come from those situations that you didn't like or you didn't appreciate that set you up for the abandonment? Because there's always, always these positive things that come from the situation. And I don't know if you guys can still hear me. Hopefully you can.
I can.
Okay, perfect. My tech is all blinging in my ear, and Lord knows that tech right now is...
You're really quiet now. While she's coming back online, from my perspective, when I started leaning into that question too, I immediately went to, like, the energetic boundaries, to where perhaps you don't feel like you yourself have those energetic boundaries up at 100% at all levels of that being. So like the best thing to do is just to retreat and move into more of that like solitude, like in your own space outside of a relationship. So it's almost that like self-abandonment coming into play due to others abandoning. So you can kind of see that circle come back to full loop as well with that. In that self-abandonment circle. So I would definitely lean into energetic boundaries first and getting those back up. The ones that I work with are physical energetic boundary, emotional energetic boundary, relational energetic boundary. I think that one will be a big one to take a look at. And then also spiritual energetic boundaries. We have so many lives on the Stronger Together platform that talk about these energetic boundaries and also how to really get them back up and functioning at 100% at all levels of the being too. So if that is something you're interested in, I definitely recommend coming into that Stronger Together community. I believe there's quite a few even in the Facebook page too that talk about energetic boundaries and how to work with them. It's super easy. It's not hard to do once you have those techniques down. A lot of it is even working with different colors to move into them too. But I would definitely take a look at those energetic boundaries first. Get them back up and functioning, and then start to really kind of dive into what do you actually want? Do you want to be alone, or do you want to be in a relationship? I think we all get to choose our own easy, and we all get to choose our own hard. And it just depends on which side of that coin you're looking at, of which way you want to go. So being very inquisitive with yourself, too. Of what exactly is it that you desire and how can you get there once you have it too? I think with anything, when we're talking abandonment, especially self-abandonment, self-sabotage oftentimes goes hand in hand with it and really trying to get to the root of what do you actually want? Because I think it's so easy for us to lean into it's okay to have the conversations about what do I need, but it starts to get a little bit more uncomfortable when we move into, but what do I want outside of my needs, outside of those necessities? What does my heart desire? What do I want in this situation? Can be one of those that I think as a society we often lean away from. Because sometimes it feels like it comes with, oh, is that entitlement energy? What's coming in with that? Like, oh, no, now do I feel like I'm worthy or deserving of this? I think so many of those things come up when we're talking about wants, when in reality we should have absolutely everything that we need and want. There should be no lack. There should be no loss. There should be no missing out. Like, we should be able to have all of those fulfilling experiences. I just want to pause and see if Janessa is back with us.
I think I am. Can you hear me now? Oh. I feel like I'm a Verizon commercial.
I can hear you now.
Amazing. Thanks, guys, for hanging in there with that. So what I was trying to explain is that every unsavory thing that we experience in our lives has something to offer us, a gift. But when we are so consumed by the pain, it can be really hard to see the positive. I actually just worked with a client of mine with this on Monday. And after the session, they sent me a follow-up message and they just couldn't see it. And so when I reframed it for them, they're like, oh my gosh, it's been there all along. I just haven't been able to see it. So for instance, ways that whatever, like I'm going to speak to the fact that this was a relationship that ended 30 years ago and you've been single-ish ever since. I don't really know if that's true, but that's the filter from which I'm viewing the situation from and speaking from. So, you know, in that time of being so independent, the true value of having a partner in your life, you know how grateful you will be to have that support from someone else. You know how, valuable it is to always have someone to rely upon, to have someone who has your back, to have someone to experience life with, to have someone as a sounding board for you when you're going through difficult times, and to graciously show up as a sounding board for someone else when they need you in that space as well. So it really deepens our level of appreciation, of compassion, of how we want to be in a relationship. And I really feel like something I heard recently applies to this as well. And that is that we spend a lot of time trying to get the things that we want in life. And what if instead we focused on being the person who has gotten? So making yourself such a match for what it is that you desire versus focusing on what you have to do, you focus on who you would be. And so I pose a few questions to you, Jamie, like who would you be if you release the story of abandonment or the abandonment that you're living in? Who would that version of Jamie be? How would she walk? How would she dress? How would it feel within her, you know, body, the confidence that you would have or the comfortability that you would have? Would you do things differently than you do today? If so, what would those things be? And then how are you letting people into your life? I would examine that. If you feel like you're living in abandonment, how are you letting people in? Like SJ was saying, if your boundaries are more like walls rather than boundaries, maybe people can't really get in even if they want to. And then it re-perpetuates that cycle of abandonment, of living in the abandonment. I would also sit and reflect on how much can you receive? Specifically, how much good can you receive before you're uncomfortable? Can you really truly open yourself and receive from others? Because when we're not in abandonment, we truly do have to be able to receive to be in relationship. And thinking about, I love the example of breathing, the giving and receiving of breath. We take a breath by breathing in and inhaling, and we give a breath away by exhaling, and we never think about it. That's our true nature. And if being in relationship was that natural and easy, what might that giving and taking look like? I think those are some pretty solid places to start. That's a lot of places to start. So you might want to come back and listen to this recording later and pick one or two at a time and continue to work and process through that if you're going to go it alone and do it on your own. But thank you so much for writing in, and thank you for your patience on us getting back around to get the questions addressed. And Lori in Vermont, I love this question that she submitted. How do you know you are really sick physically as opposed to experiencing something energetic?
I love this one.
The simple answer is using muscle testing or pendulum to be able to differentiate, is the root of this something physical, emotional, mental, spiritual? And personal example of this, SJ and I were going to record a video a few weeks ago, and the stars were not aligning for us to record this video. And we had rescheduled it a multitude of times. And the day before, my glands started swelling up. And it wasn't my throat hurt, but my neck hurt from my glands, right? So it was kind of like my throat hurt, but it wasn't the actual inside of my throat. It was all connected to my glands. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I cannot be getting sick. I cannot be getting sick right now because we need to record this thing tomorrow. And so I muscle tested exactly that. I'm like, okay, is the root of this physical? No. I'm like, okay, great. It's not, you know, a pathogen, a germ, whatever. So this means I should be able to interrupt the situation rather quickly. And so then I muscle tested, was it mental? It was emotional. And then I phoned a friend and I called SJ. I'm like, hey, well, we have some energy we have to clear. I've got some emotions that are clogging up my glands and they hurt. And I want to be able to talk tomorrow so we can record this thing. Help a girl out. So my go-to is always the muscle testing.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most solid advice for everything, right? Like, how do I know? Muscle testing or pendulum? You guys are probably going to think we're a broken record, but it truly is the quickest way to bypass that conscious mind. from an energy medicine principle aspect, the argument would be made that everything that is physical began as a spiritual and then an emotional disruption before it manifested in the physical. So arguably, there could always be a link to spiritual and emotional dysfunction that caused the physical manifestation of what you're experiencing. Now, that doesn't mean that, like, once it's in the physical, that you would automatically have to go to the spiritual or emotional underroot to clear the problem. Sometimes it really is as simple as, like, hey, I have a virus. Cool. What is the virus trying to tell me? Like, what is it trying to do for me? So you're still really clearing, arguably, the physical manifestation. But I guess even from that aspect, from an energy medicine principle, you're still working with energetics that aren't just physical. So while that is not a super clear answer to it, there is typically more than just a physical manifestation link, strictly from an energy medicine principle aspect.
Such great information. And, you know, I love the, like, specificity. Some words are so hard to say. Can you say that word well? I love how specific that crystals are for the, you know, various different things. But I also love the tools that are more broad for being able to shift things. So, you know, for instance, if something is emotionally rooted, holding the front and back of your head, the UFO holding, or doing the tapping and moving those emotions through are really helpful. So it's one thing to be able to identify the root of a cause, but then you also need that next step of, okay, now what? What am I going to do to move this energy through versus just saying, okay, I've shined a light on it, I'm going to look at it. And sometimes that is enough. Depending upon what the situation is, you can identify it. But other times you need more than that to get things moving and connected and flowing. And that is what Stronger Together is all about. Okay, so last week we talked about routines, but we didn't get into night routine. Let's jump into our night routine, and I don't have as nearly as much to say about it as my morning routine, but I think it's equally as important. And I know SJ has a specific night routine that she does as well. But the thing about going to bed, like what you focus on when you go to bed, is really what your subconscious mind is going to mull over, integrate, reconcile in your sleep. So, you know, the old saying about never go to bed angry with your spouse. Well, also if you go to bed in lack, so growing up, prayer, the way that I learned to pray in the Catholic Church really was like, oh, God, I need $100 for this coat that I want, you know, like whatever my prayers were, right? And so-and-so is sick. My grandpa had cancer. I remember praying for him for the longest time for his health because he was lacking health. Like my prayers were always focused on the lack. And so then in my sleep and my subconscious, it's just driving that perspective of lack even deeper. And so envisioning what you want to have, what you are manifesting, seeing that here and now. Your brain only works with what is current and present, and the brain loves to learn from repetition. So this is the other thing that inpatient Janessa had to learn over the years, that I just want to be one and done with all of the things, and then I want it to poof, appear like a magic fairy. Well, when you're working with the brain learns from repetition. And this is why routines are so freaking valuable to you. So really setting to mind, to your mind, literally setting to your mind before you go to sleep, what it is that you're manifesting, that you're creating, that you're working on, not what you don't have. Seeing it here, seeing it present now. And, you know, prayers of gratitude for all of the abundance, for everything that you do have, for all of the good, and I like to do just a quick little thing as I lay down, feeling gratitude for the fact that I've progressed in some way today, whether I learned something new, I expanded and I grew, I had a new client or had a client with a breakthrough. Like, there's so many different ways to measure growth, expanse, success, right? And just holding that deep vibration of gratitude that more has shown up in my life today. Even on the days that are less than amazing, there's still something that showed up positively. So that's kind of my own personal riff on the night routine and why it's so important. And of course, for people who have a lot of anxiety, I strongly encourage, or if you don't sleep well, I strongly encourage the tapping before bed, because it can help you sleep deeper, fall asleep faster. And the other thing, which I'll let SJ speak to all of her goodness, but when she taught me light column activation, that was another thing. If I didn't want to tap, especially if I was laying in bed and I was afraid that I would disturb my husband, I would use the light column activation instead. So SJ, what's your routine and what do you focus on?
Well, the first thing that I always do is what I would call the call back my own energy prayer. So it's super simple. Just, you know, I call back all energy that left me intentionally or unintentionally, and I release all energies that are not my own. So that I'm not carrying anything that isn't mine with me into the night, but I also am having returned my vital energetics too that maybe inadvertently were given away throughout the day and through various means of interactions too. So that's the first thing that I do. And then, yeah, moving into light column activation or shamanic drumming is always how I close out my night. For me, as an Enneagram 7 headpoint, the emotions, like really getting into how I feel, is more challenging for me. So instead of light column activation, I do the same technique but with water, the element of water, where you literally just visualize pulling water up from the earth into your toes, knees, hips, up into your chest, throat, head, and then visualize it exiting through the top of your head, flowing back to the earth where it's cleansed, purified, and returned to you in a continuous healing loop. You can literally do that with any type of element. So like Janessa said, light column, where you visualize pulling up light and energy from the earth, is one aspect of that that I feel like it is one of the most releasing and also grounding exercises that can be done just to help reconnect you into your body in the physical, but also connecting that emotional, spiritual, energetics all into it together as well. Water from an elemental stance is amazing at helping us connect to emotions or helping us to process them. So for me, that has been the most calming aspect of a night routine for me, is to switch up that light column activation into water to where I can process any lingering emotions that maybe I didn't quite acknowledge throughout the day that were coming up. A morning routine, I flip it and it's light column activation, because I feel like sometimes for me that's a little bit more activating of get up and move. Fire, even more so. If you're looking for a morning routine. But while we're on the nighttime routine, definitely that calling back my own energy prayer and releasing whatever isn't mine, and then either doing shamanic drumming or rattle to release out any stuck or stagnant energetics hanging out within my body or my energy field, or that water column activation as well is always my nighttime routine. My kids do all of these things with me too. So this is definitely something, I want to say Scarlett was 3 when she started doing it, and Everett would have been 5-ish, I think, when he was finally on board to do these items too. So they're really great techniques that are super easy that even kids can definitely lean into and learn. And you'll see them switch it up too. Like if you start talking to them like, hey, which element do you want to work with? They'll naturally pick the one that's best suited for them without even knowing like what it does. I mean, the first time Everett chose star energy, I was like, oh, I see you. I see you there, little connected energy worker too. But kids are amazing at just knowing what they need and connecting into that energetic too. So that's one thing I love about all of these techniques, including Janessa's tapping, is something that children can learn as well and utilize all the time. Like, I will see Scarlett utilize tapping when she's just overwhelmed by whatever emotion that's going on. Like, she'll just find a quiet place, sit down, and you'll just see her start going through the whole tapping routine.
I love that. The little tapping game for kids.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Before we jump into self-abandonment, we have a couple more questions. Lane or Lainey, I'm sorry if I'm butchering your name. Names are important to me, so I apologize. But Lane in the UK asks, I'm feeling like my body is under attack by inflammation. Arthritis in joints, candida things, Crohn's in the digestive system, and a lot of pain often. Can you offer any advice on getting a handle on this or where to start? Well, most of the things that you listed are infection-driven, so I'll let SJ speak to that from an earth medicine standpoint. You definitely, with like blood labs and supplements, could help support your body as you move through the emotions and the pattern that creates those ailments within the body. But the body is just such a feedback machine. If you have You Can Heal Your Life by Lewis Hay, that book, or Feelings Buried Alive, Never Die by Carol Truman, you can look up the specific emotions that are connected to those ailments on your own and start processing the emotions of those individually. But where to start, again, like, I love to use the muscle testing for that, you know, is the first point of focus, the arthritis to heal, or the candida, or the Crohn's. And every person has their own path to healing from an energetic standpoint, and the muscle testing and pendulum will really honor that. From a functional medicine coaching standpoint, starting with infections is going to help alleviate and return energy to your body to get you back on track, and then to have more energy available to you to heal the other aspects of what you have going on within the body.
Yeah, from energy medicine, viral was definitely what I was picking up on from the beginning. But with each of those specific ailments that you have going on within that physical disease, I would naturally, from a chakra stance, start looking at root chakra and solar plexus would be the two main chakras that we would start taking a look at. What emotions are held there, what's going on within those two chakra systems. Are they typically, when we start to see things like the Crohn's and the rheumatoid arthritis especially manifesting, we would be looking at underactive or completely blocked root and solar plexus chakras. So it would be important to move out of those for a few reasons, not just the physical ailments, to open those chakra systems and that flow back up. So that is where I would start looking to. If you're into the chakra system, look for root and solar plexus meditations. There's a lot of them online within YouTube that you could look at. From a crystal aspect, we would be looking at malachite, fuchsite, and a couple of other ones that come to mind would be pneumite. I would be looking at spessartine garnet, maybe even poker chip calcite to move into those energetic or move out of those energetics of those blocked root and solar plexus as well. I love color therapy. So if you're looking for colors, like, it's super easy to do color therapy just by eating foods that are that color. So looking at foods that are red or yellow and adding those into your diet may be an option too. Make sure the red foods you add, of course, are not color dyed red, but naturally red. So things like beets, for instance, would be amazing to help move into the color therapy energetics as well. Of course, there are tons of lives and live sessions and information on that Stronger Together platform. There's quite a bit in there, I think, too, on even autoimmune functions in a couple of those lives, too, and how to move out of some of those physical disease manifestations that are coming up, too.
Yeah, and it's really important to heal beneath the inflammation. because our bodies are made to heal in a water environment, which is why we get inflamed. It's why we retain the water. It's part of our natural healing, and it's also uncomfortable when there's too much of it. And sometimes we get distracted by that discomfort of the inflammation rather than paying attention to really what's underneath the inflammation. So while we didn't until now directly address that, I just wanted to point that out because while it was the first thing that was listed in the question, it wasn't actually something either one of us spoke to, because we know when we get to the heart of the matter, which is never the inflammation, then that inflammation is going to subside on its own. And then also, I mean, with love, and I love the questions, and I hope you guys keep them coming, but I always wonder in the back of my mind when you're submitting these questions, you know, are you trying to navigate this healing journey all on your own, or do you have support? And if you're going it alone, I strongly encourage you to have some professional guidance in your corner. So if that is not something that you already have, find the right person that speaks to you. Find the right modality that is aligned with you. Find the right individual to walk the path with you, because trying to heal all of this on your own is incredibly challenging. Speaking from experience, speaking from that person who was determined and was very much personality programmed to do it on my own, do it without meds. Yes, it is possible, and it also takes a lot longer. You stay in a state of pain much longer. And so how easy can you let it be? And there's a lot of learning that can come from partnering with people and building that trusting relationship. And for me personally, that was part of my healing. I couldn't build a trusting relationship, and so I would try to go it alone. So I also just want to add that in for those of you who are really wanting the help and you're advocating for yourself. Kudos to you. Keep it up. And might you be able to partner with someone that can come alongside of you and speed up that process. So we have another question from Lucy in New Zealand. My friend told me our pets often pick up on their human ailments. How can I protect my fur family from my health issues? And also, do you have any ideas why they do that? This is such a good question. And SJ, you're so amazing with animals. I'm going to turn it over to you first.
Well, I'm going to be a broken record, because energetic boundaries for pets work exactly the same way as it does for us. So certainly the start is going to be energetic boundaries, ensuring that your boundaries are up 100%, but also your pet's boundaries are up as well. I also have to add this in here because I feel like it's important, but having the house boundaries up at 100% is also insanely helpful, especially from a pet's aspect too. Why do they take on our ailments? Because I truly believe our pets are here to help us walk this human experience. And when you love someone, I think you naturally try to help them in any way you can. And that, I mean, we do it as humans too, right? We try to take on the issues of our loved ones too, to help them carry that load, carry that burden. And our pets are no different in that aspect. And honestly, I feel like are far more self-sacrificing in that aspect than most humans are too. So definitely acknowledging, you know, within them that, hey, you can help me walk this path, but you don't have to carry any of the physical, emotional, or spiritual ailments that I have going on. How about we set up a direct line of communication where you just let me know when something's going on, but you don't try to take it on for me, is also a really good boundary to have set with your pets too.
Mm-hmm. I love just simply talking to your pet, like the boundaries for sure. That was the first thing that came up in my mind. But talking to your pet, like we all talk to our pets, right? But telling them like, hey, this is actually for me to navigate and learn from, and it's happening for me, and you don't have to carry any of it. And also, as as bizarre as this might sound, you can also use that tapping with the intention that you're doing it for your animal. It will shift their energy as well. So working with some of those boundaries and processing the energy for your pets, you can do that actually doing the tapping on you while holding the intention that you're doing it to shift the energy for them. So you're doing it as like surrogate work for them. And I totally agree with why they do it. I think that our animals train us very beautifully to serve us, for us to serve them. I'm sorry, I have that backward. Our pets train us very powerfully how to serve them, but in return, that is their way of serving us. They try to lighten our load, whether it's emotionally or physically, and our pets always know, even if we're just, if our mood is off, you know, they'll pick up on that right away. And then typically they'll try to comfort or improve the mood. You know, my dog will, boxers do this beaming and dance thing that is very true to their breed. Like all boxers will do that. You can easily find clips online of them doing that. And like Kaiva will do something to make me smile or laugh. She'll be goofy. She'll dance around, you know, whatever, just for the sake of lightening the mood when she can feel that I'm a bit off or my husband's a bit off. And with him specifically, she'll lay with him. Like, and I am not so much the, my love language is not so much affection. And his is, and I, you know, like she didn't need to read a book to figure it out. I needed to read the book about it to know and to figure it out, but she didn't. She'll just do what she knows, like what she senses, which is different for each of us. So it's so incredible to watch our animals' intelligence. They just know. Just know. Okay. So we have, oh, geez, like less than 10 minutes before we're up to the top of the hour. Let's talk about self-abandonment a little bit, as much as we can in that time frame. That's what we're going to be addressing in Stronger Together tomorrow night. And self-abandonment goes hand in hand with all of this abandonment topic. And I also think self-abandonment is something that so naturally happens more often than what we want to admit. And I'll tell you quickly a little story about how I did it last night even. I was not feeling amazing yesterday. I was just really fatigued and exhausted. My energy level was super low. And when my husband came home, I was still working. And so my work stuff, I had not in the office. I had taken it upstairs for the sun, to sit in the sun and work. So I had my work stuff on the kitchen table, and he's like, oh, the table is covered. And I'm like, yeah, but it wouldn't be, you know, if it wasn't for my work stuff. And I was still working, and instead of just telling him, like, I'll get to it, I'll handle it when I'm done, he started picking up. And he also went and grabbed some groceries for us last night when he got off work. And so I had made something to eat because I was hungry, and I was sitting at the table, and he started spraying off the table to wipe it down. And I picked up my food because I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't want that spray, the cleaner. Like, I don't even want residue on my food. And I was eating a salad. So I went and literally like sat down on the floor on a mat and ate my dinner. And then I went to take Kaiba for a walk. Oh, I got the vacuum out and I vacuumed. Because I'm like, I just want him to be at peace for the evening. He really likes a clean house. And then I went to take Kaiva for a walk. And, you know, as I talk about this, yeah, it sounds like, you know, I'm all peaceful and fine, but I was exhausted. So under the surface, like, I'm feeling resentful. I don't want to be vacuuming right now. Like, I want to be in bed. I don't really care if there's dog fur on the floor. And I'm not really committed to walk our dog every single day, especially if I don't feel well. But I'm going to walk her because she deserves it. She for sure deserves it. And so as I was getting ready to take her for a walk, he said to me, he's like, I'll take her for a walk. Or he asked me what was wrong. And I said, I'm just really exhausted. I'm going to take Kaiba for a walk, and I'm going to bed as soon as I get home. It's 7 p.m., friends. And he's like, really, you're going to bed as soon as you get home? I'm like, absolutely, 100%. I super mean that. And he's like, oh, well, if you're really not feeling that well, I could take her. And instead of receiving and being like, are you sure you've had a long day? Are you really good with that? I just said, you know what, you've done a lot today, and I really appreciate that. I'll take her for a walk. It'll be fine. I'm going to bed when I get home. So I take her for a walk, and of course, I'm resentful inside because I had self-abandoned what I actually needed, which was rest. But I did go to bed as soon as I got home, and I slept for like 12 hours, and I could feel my body thank me when I woke up this morning that it had that chance to recover. And so we can, unaware, in complete unawareness, do these things that self-abandon. And sometimes rectifying that self-abandonment looks like the next day when you wake up and your body is thanking you for the extra sleep of examining, what could I do differently? So like I said, when he asked about the walk, I could have received. I could have checked in with him, like, hey, are you sure that you have enough gas in the tank to do that? You've had a long day. I'd really appreciate that if you can. But I just shut it down last night and was like, I'll do it. So, yeah, also a great point about self-abandonment in my story that I said was going to be short and then it really wasn't, but my indicator of that is resentment. I know within my design, when I am out of alignment with myself, I feel that resentment right away, and that's not true for everyone. So as I talk about my resentment, I know that's my indicator, but really tune in to what is your own indicator, because you will have an emotion that is primarily there to tell you, like, hey, babe, you are out of balance. You need to give yourself some something. SJ, thanks for your patience. That's a lot of words,
that's so,
girl. Your turn.
No, that's so good with the indicator, though, because my indicator when I feel self-abandonment is literally crushed. Like, I feel like I'm a bug that just got crushed. And, like, that sounds so dumb, and I don't even know if that's an emotion, and I'm okay with that because I know that's my indicator of I am literally self-abandoning myself when I feel like a crushed bug. So that's for sure mine. One thing I just want to say, like, self-abandonment can rock up without any external stimuli, too. I know for me, like, this week, I thought to myself a million times, like, I am so thirsty. I need to just get up and get some water. Did I ever do that throughout my, like, 9 hours of work? I didn't. I never actually went and did it, even though, like, my body had prompted me. My mind had prompted me. I swear my everything had prompted me. Like, you need to go get water. And I got off the final call for that day, and I just started crying because I had that, like, crushed bug feeling. And I'm like, oh, yeah. I self-abandoned by literally not listening to me and being like, you are thirsty. Like, actually, at this point, you're probably dehydrated. Like, we have moved past thirst into Sahara Desert dehydration. That's a bit dramatic, but that is where I was at in that moment, too. So it can show up in so many different ways with the way that we see self-abandonment, how we move through it, and what we do about it, too. So sometimes it's that acknowledgement and also, like, this sounds silly too, but apologizing to my physical body, like, hey, I'm really sorry. Please forgive me. Like, I love Ho'oponopono for that too, especially when in self-abandonment and just saying it to me and then having that reset to start over.
Yes. I think that the apologizing external as well as internal, they're equally as important. And even if I make amends with someone else, I'll make amends with myself at the same time always, because there's some way that I could have done things better. And I just want to make amends with myself that I know I did as good as I could in that moment. But the next time I'm here, I'm present, and I'm showing up for myself, I'm evaluating what worked, what didn't, what I can do different, and making that commitment to myself to do something different the next time. So, oh my gosh, we have 1 minute left, guys, and we have to roll. So that's a wrap on the self-abandonment, which is a topic we could really dissect for a whole show easily. So if you want to hear more on that, come to our call tomorrow in Stronger Together, which is going to be even better because we're going to heal through it versus just talk about it on the surface. If you do want to hear more about self-abandonment, reach out to Esther or I or any other topic for that matter and let us know what you'd like to hear on the show. And we'd love to bring that to you. So if you would like to join the Stronger Together community where you can heal, be in community with others, you guys know what it's all about because you hear us talk about it all the time. The courses, the platform, the support, all of it. You can jump on her website, crystallinecurrents.com, or mine, fiercelyradiantsoul.com, and get the links from there. You can reach out to either one of us, and we'll get you a direct link and make it easy peasy. Also next week, I am launching on April 2nd, Align Your Life, which is going to be exactly that. Really harvesting the power of the here and now, getting out of the avoidance into inspired action and living in alignment so your dreams can become your reality. Next week, I will be back with a topic that will be a surprise for us all. And in the meantime, keep your eyes wide open.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.